Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of How to Scale a Business. I'm on with Mike Kubion. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Mike is a multifaceted operator who works as chief operating officer at an interior design company, is also a tech consultant with his own company, Alexa Guru, which he's had since 2017, and also working as a technical board advisor for Limbic, which uses AI to protect and promote your organization. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Mike.
Thanks, Lucas.
So tell me a little bit about what you're working on most right now. What's taking up most of your time?
I would say on a daily basis right now, it is helping to run the operations for an interior design company, which, given my background is mostly being a CTO in software companies, is a bit of an odd duck. But it's a company my wife started about 7 years ago. Typical one founder, CEO, owner, starting her own business. And she has now scaled up to be one of the top 10 design studios in Austin with several employees, and has grown it from what was essentially a hobby business to a full-blown functioning business with multi-million dollars in revenue.
That's amazing. So with that and with all the work you're doing, what are you finding in terms of growing businesses right now, you know, post-COVID? What's been the most effective way to do it so far?
It's really driving to the focus of what it is you're trying to accomplish and making sure that you're doing that organically. But the things that clients don't pay you to do, those are the things you should look to either bring in outside help or in a sense, outsource. So in the case of DaVinci Interiors, for example, the owner came and said, I'm spending a lot of time managing all these new employees. I'm spending a lot of time discussing with vendors. I'm spending a lot of time doing a lot of back-end processes and improvements. What I'm not doing is actually going out and designing homes. And that's why I started this, was because that was my passion. And the advice I gave her early on was, well, your first hire should not be another designer. It should be hire someone who does all of these back-end things, so that frees up your time and you become a multiple of that. And then when you get to the work of where you need that second designer, you have the person on the back end to support that infrastructure to take that scale. And I think that's a lot of times what a lot of companies will make the mistake is they'll go for that primary talent and they forget about, is my HR department big enough to handle the new employees? Are my finance people ready to handle that? It's all the other parts of your business you have to consider before doing that.
Makes a lot of sense. Would you say too, then, is that also something that you wish you did differently when you started the business? Or do you feel like you always did that well? Yeah.
Oh, no. Experience comes from scar tissue, is a cliche I like to say. You know, I know to do that because I did it wrong, and I know not to do it wrong again. And a lot of companies will do that. Having spent time in software, you know, not uncommon for, you know, if the CEO owner has a sales and marketing background, they'll go out with a big sales and marketing team and forget, well, you actually need the developers to build the product for you to sell and market, or vice versa. They're very technical, so they'll hire a lot of developers and they don't hire their sales and marketing, and then they wonder why they can't sell the product. So it really has to take across the whole range of concepts and parts of the business. A business is not just one entity. It is several pieces of functionality that need to come together and work under a common strategy.
Makes a lot of sense. So tell me a little bit about how you see AI making a big impact in growing companies. I see that you've been doing a lot of tech for a long time, but how are things different now, if at all?
Yeah, I'd say there's been several revolutions in the tech industry throughout the past few years, and AI has certainly been the biggest and the most recent. AI has been in the background for a while. We used to call it expert systems. We've called it machine learning. We've called it a few different things. The real change has been that front-end interface, those large language models. Now you don't need to be a data scientist to go to ChatGPT or Gemini or one of the other tools and type in a simple paragraph and get some good content generated out of that. Where it's been a big impact on, say, the tech side is there may have been roles or positions that were, I would say, low-hanging fruit in the sense of you didn't need a computer science degree or a PhD in physics in order to write the code to do some simple behaviors. And a lot of that is starting to be addressed by AI tools that make it simpler. However, I don't think it's a tool that is going to ultimately replace all developers. I've been around long enough to, I remember the same sentiments being expressed when the first debuggers came out. And then also when new languages came out or new frameworks or new tools, it's another tool in the arsenal of anyone who's in this career field to use. So you may as well get used to using it. It's going to be around for a while. And companies need to factor that into their equations. What's going to be interesting is not so much the AI that there's now, it's what's next.
Right. What do you think is next?
Personally, I think we're seeing kind of the peak of the generative AI in generating content. The reality is it's not really doing anything differently than what humans were doing before. It's just doing it a lot faster. So the next part, it, to me, is when we start getting AI that thinks like humans, that starts representing several demographics that you could then leverage to make decisions. Am I running the right marketing campaign given my demographic? Is the message I'm about to put out into the world because something's happened at my company? CEO wants to make a press release. Is that press release going to be accepted positively or negatively? How are your customers going to react to that? How's your competition? So I think kind of scaling up to that next level of not just playing the role of a content creator, but now starting to play the role of the customer. And that can fundamentally shift how businesses will view AI.
That makes a lot of sense. So where do you think most businesses are struggling now? So you talked about what you think is the best way to grow a company, but where do you think the biggest pain points are for businesses right now? The things that they're struggling to do, is it just the opposite of what you said, or is there anything else you're seeing that's a big issue?
Well, you always have macroeconomic conditions that are going to cause businesses to struggle. If you're a small business, say less than 5, maybe no more than 10 employees, access to capital to grow is tougher now with higher interest rates. The days of a VC just being willing to throw a lot of money out there, no, you have to have a business that's viable, that hopefully is at least on track for positive growth. The private equity businesses are much more stringent about, you know, they want to see a few quarters of profit before they're willing to dump a lot of money in, or at least the promise. I think the give me lots of money based on how fast I can grow is really kind of waning on just a dream or a hope. They want to see actual traction. They want to see you selling to the market and having that upward tick, as they say, yeah, up into the right success.
I mean, you've had a pretty long time horizon looking at everything. I mean, on your LinkedIn, it says you've been working in tech for 25 plus years. I mean, this sort of change in the investment market, this change in sort of how things are right now in technology, do you think that's going to continue for a while, or do you think that's going to be a short-term thing?
No, it's going to be around for a while, just because it's had such a big impact. Will it be forever? No, it's probably cyclical. It really depends on what happens next in the unknown world of what innovation may come around. But for a good period of time, I mean, people thought that the low interest rates and good access to capital was only going to be a short time thing, and it lasted for almost 2 decades. So it could be a while before that happens again. I just think it means that businesses need to really focus on what it is they're trying to accomplish and be realistic about it. You can't just burn through the cash at the rates that were done in the past. You have to have a plan. Be cognizant of your costs. Look to where you can make those monies. Doesn't mean you can't take the moonshot every now and then. That has to be done in order to keep pushing forward. But it's not going to be as easy, and it's going to take a lot more than an idea. It's going to take some actual work and hustle to show.
Right. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So I guess what would you say if you had to restart your company from scratch, completely from scratch, you know what you know now, but what's the first year look like for you? If you can map out that timeline for people, what would you do first year launching another company?
First thing I would spend is don't worry about making money the first year, because you probably won't, and you're going to burn a lot of hours. But those hours should be burned. Yes, you got to devote some time to whatever your product is. You got to put that together. But the planning of how you're going to go after your market, it's not enough to just have a good product that you think people will come after just because it exists. Building a better mousetrap doesn't work unless there's a mouse problem. So you have to identify, is the market actually there that I can go out to? Can I sell this message? Can I say things that will resonate with those potential customers? A lot of companies don't spend enough time realizing that until it's too late, when they said, okay, I could make 100% of my sales and it still wouldn't be enough money to make this viable. The sooner you can learn that, the better.
Yeah. Wise words. So if anybody's listening to this and they, you know, are interested in any of the businesses that you work with now, is there any area which you'd like people to contact you about most? Is somebody interested in working with you on tech consulting, somebody in AI? What's the best kind of person to collaborate with at the moment for you?
Yeah, I really operate in a couple of different worlds. One is collaborating with companies that are looking to build their tech team. While sometimes that's called a fractional CTO, I'm coming in more as an advisor that would help them find the right CTO for the position that they're looking at. If we're talking about software, because of my experience, I have a lot of personal contacts. I know a lot of different industries. So that's certainly an aspect in there. I've had some CEOs come and say, we're about to sign a large contract, or we're about to go market in a new area, and I'm not sure whether or not my technology stack or even my tech team is ready. Can you give me an independent third set of eyes evaluation of that? The other is on M&A. I've worked a lot with private equity companies that are looking to do acquisitions, and they're primarily financial folks. They're not technical. They know the financial metrics they need to go dig for, but they don't know the technical metrics that they need to be asking and say, it may be a great technology, it may be a great product, but is the tech stack dated? And are you going to have to pump in a couple of million dollars right after you close on the deal? It won't be a go or no-go decision, but it may change your evaluation that you put into it. And so right. I can come in and help companies do that.
Makes a lot of sense. So thank you so much for coming on the show. And if you had any final words of wisdom you'd like to share, feel free to do so. But before that, what's the best way for people to contact you? Is just go to your website or go to your LinkedIn? Or
LinkedIn is probably the best way to contact me.
Just
send me a LinkedIn mail. Tell me how you know, if you saw this podcast, let me know that in the intro. Chances are, if you just send a blind request with no note, probably 99% chance I won't know who you are and I won't accept it. So put a note in there.
Yeah. Say you're from the How to Scale an Agency podcast, How to Scale Business podcast. Any final words you'd give to aspiring entrepreneurs, words of encouragement, anything about how it might get better as you go?
Know that it will always get better. And it will be hard work the first year. You'll probably work twice as hard the second year and only make a little bit more. But somewhere around the third or fourth year, that's when the click will happen. And those first customers you talk to start coming back. You start getting the advice. You start learning the lessons. And you eventually crawl out of that, those sometimes what can be dark times. It will get better.
Right. Well, thank you, Mike, so much for coming on the show. For everybody listening, this has been a great experience hearing about how to grow businesses as a tech consultant, but also in a variety of different industries that Mike's had the ability to work in. So been great having him on. And until next time, it's another episode of How to Scale Business. Thank you.
Thank you, Lucas.